Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. I'm one of your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Gettys.
Bless, let's go. We just did a trailer reaction to Pixar's Lightyear. That was hype as hell. Go check that out, youtube.com/kindafunny. Oh, very positive. Positive. Yeah. So cool. I love how serious they're taking it.
Was that something that was previously announced? Because I woke up this morning, saw the trailer, and I was like, holy shit, this looks awesome. And I watched the trailer, and I was like, yeah, dude, like, I'm already getting emotional for this movie that's not coming out, what, a year from now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's coming out in June, not that far away. Yeah. Like, 6 months. Well, yeah, it's not right. You know, itchy math there. But it was announced Disney Plus Day last year.
Okay. Yeah, that looks tight. I'm very much looking forward to it. Tim, I haven't gotten to host with you since this N64 Switch Online thing dropped. Have you gotten a chance to check that out?
Oh, I've been playing the hell out of N64 games. Are you kidding me, Blessing? Star Fox 64, just as good as the first day I played it. Yes. What a video game, man. I've been telling y'all.
I had that same that same experience of being like, yo, Star Fox 64 really holds up in a way I wasn't expecting. Because, like, to give a peek behind the curtain of my life and how I've played video games, you know, I'm heavy into the N64, obviously, as I've talked about many a time. Star Fox 64 is one of those few major N64 games that I didn't own, and I would play only a few times at, like, friends' houses, and we'd go through and we'd do a playthrough. But I never got as into Star Fox 64 as so many other people who own the N64 or are fans of the N64 did. And so going back into it, I was doing the stream on Monday on my personal channel, and I did like a poll of, hey, what game should I play? Like, I'm playing Mario 64 right now for a few minutes, but what game should I jump into next, right? And I listed Star Fox. I listed, I think, like Mario Tennis, Mario Kart, and I expected Mario Kart was going to win. I didn't expect Star Fox would just take it by storm, but everybody wanted to see me play Star Fox. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. I'll play some Star Fox. Let's get into it. I'm kind of nervous because, like, you know, I'm probably going to suck at this game because I've not played too much of it compared to all this other stuff. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes. And Tim, like 45 minutes into it, I couldn't believe
how good credits roll.
I actually didn't beat it. I was like a level away from beating it, but I was tired. But I was like, you know, I was surprised. I was like, dude, this game, one, plays super well to this day. Looks really cool visually. It's, of course, this N64 game, so it's 64-bit. But regardless, has really good art style. And it's a really good presentation overall. Like, the cinematic presentation of that game is off the chain.
Dude, I mean, yes, we should talk way more about Star Fox 64 another time. Real quick, though, I need to bring this up because something happened many years ago that I just love, which is Star Fox Assault, which is a game that came out on GameCube. It was one-third the best Star Fox game ever and two-thirds absolute trash based on the different gameplay modes. But it did introduce us to a new Nintendo thing, which was fully orchestral scores. It was the first Nintendo game to go fully orchestral, which is weird because you don't think of Star Fox as like the type of franchise that would get that treatment. This is before Mario Odyssey, Mario Galaxy even, all of that stuff. But my favorite thing is Star Wolf's theme has always been dope as fuck. Kev, I just said this to Assets, if we could just play it for like 20 seconds. In Star Fox Assault, they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's make Star Wolf's theme sexy. Star Wolf needs to make everybody just hot and wet when they think about it. So yeah, now we all need to have this moment so we can all question, why did they go this hard?
Here we go. Oh my god.
Are you kidding me? Alright, you can stop it, Kev. It's fucking hot.
That's ridiculous.
Dude.
I was gonna ask, I was like, is there saxophone in it? And sure enough, man, like they went all in. That is fire, honestly.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's it's a trumpet, actually. It's like a silence trumpet that is fucking getting it, dude.
But sexy getting brass it. Nonetheless.
Sexy, sexy brass, baby. You gotta love that sexy brass. You know what else you gotta love? Video game news. Tim, let's talk about today's stories, which include a new Pikmin game, a Nintendo Switch data mine, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, we're partnering with NVIDIA GeForce to have Andy play through Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy for the first time, showing off all of that DLSS and ray tracing goodness on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames after this show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. What's today? Today's Wednesday, right?
Today is Wednesday.
All track of what day it is this week. This week, this is going by at a weird pace. But yeah, that's going on. Oh, I guess it started yesterday. It's continuing today and continuing on tomorrow. So get hyped for that. Also, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, our Guardians of the Galaxy review is up right now as a Kind of Funny Games cast that's featuring me, Tim, Snow, Michael, and the momentary return of one, the only, Greg Miller. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Speaking of podcasts, our Spider-Man 2 In Review Rewatch is up right now featuring me and Anthony Carboni along with Tim, Nick, and Andy talking all about that second movie of the Sam Raimi trilogy, and it's as ridiculous as you expect it to be following up on the ridiculous Spider-Man 1 rewatch. It is a long, meaty episode with lots of goodness, lots of bits, lots of jokes, and the whole crew just tearing apart a movie that I think we all collectively really enjoy. And so,
It is some of the best content ever. Like the Spider-Man 1 and 2 rewatch so far, and what I'm sure next week's Spider-Man 3 rewatch is going to be.
I can't wait.
It is gold content.
Yeah, and bringing on Anthony Carboni was the perfect decision for that one, because Anthony Carboni, let me tell you, he is into these movies, into these movies. Every single detail that we can possibly like comb through in these movies, we get into, and Anthony has a comment, and I love it so much. And so go check that out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny and on podcast services. And then more for podcasts, a new episode of PS Love You XOXO is up right now, and it is Janet and mine's predictions, hopes, and dreams for this week's PlayStation State of Play. Of course, that State of Play is happening later today. We will be live reacting right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Holy crap, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's happening in a few hours. So like get hyped for that. Do you have any last minute predictions?
No, I'm just excited. This is one of those state of plays that I feel like kind of just like caught me off guard, clearly, even right now. Like I'm ready for some fun.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm ready for it too. They already did announce that there's going to be a deep dive into Little Devil Inside, which you talked a lot about during that PS Love You. And so go check that out, that episode. You know, check it out before the State of Play. But even if the State of Play happens, you can still check it out, because one, you can make fun of us or laugh at the things we get wrong or right, which I already got the Little Devil Inside thing right. And so hell yeah. But also, that's only the first half of the episode. The second half is, of course, diving into all the PlayStation updates that you know about, the games you've been playing, all that good stuff. So go jump on that. And then one more thing for youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Barrett's Arkham series continues with a video all about Arkham Origins and whether that game still holds up. That video is up right now in the final episode, all about Arkham Knight, premieres this Sunday on Halloween at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Praying Sea and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, DraftKings, and Liquid IV, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have eight stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Which eight is a very high number for stories for me. Even though I listened to, was it Monday's episode where you guys had 12 news stories? Which
we
is
got them all.
Ridiculous. You got them all, which it was a very active weekend, and I'm proud of you, even though one of those stories was the false story that the Fortnite movie was going to have two sex scenes. But I digress.
Which got you, bless.
It did get me, and I was very excited for it, and I was like, that was the one where I was like, damn, I wish I was on Monday's Games Daily because I want to talk about it, but then I learned it was fake, so I was like, oh no, good decision. Tim, let's start this off by talking about a new Pikmin game, which is launching as we speak. I am pulling from Mariella Moon at Engadget. Kevin, I have a trailer that you can pull up in the doc at the top of the news story as I read through. Pokemon Go's creator has a new augmented reality mobile game, and this time it's all about Pikmin. Niantic is now rolling out Pikmin Bloom worldwide, starting with Singapore and Australia, where it's already live. Similar to Pokemon Go, you'll have to go out and interact with the real world to enjoy the game. It's really more of a fun and colorful companion for daily walks or hikes, though since it does not have battles and doesn't have the incentive of catching rare monsters like the Pokemon Go series does. In Pikmin Bloom, you'll find seedlings when you walk. In Pikmin Bloom, you'll find seedlings when you walk that you can pick. When you walk that you can pick up and grow into plant-like creatures that'll follow you around. The more you walk, the more Pikmin you can pluck, and the more Pikmin will follow you around. On screen, you're depicted as a Mii avatar with a bunch of creatures walking behind you and making more flowers bloom along your path. You'll also be able to collect items on your walks, including clothes Pikmin can wear and fruit you can feed your creatures to make flowers bloom on their heads. Niantic CEO John Hank said in the game's video announcement that the flowers that the Pikmin make can be viewed by other players, so you can create shared gardens with your neighbors. Pikmin Bloom is now live for Android and iOS in Singapore and Australia, and it'll be arriving in more countries and regions shortly. Tim-ma-fucking-Geddes, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm interested. My first thoughts on this last night when I saw it would go to Twitter and try to see if Lakers head in the chat has the Twitter so I could tweet it and be like, hey, you finally got your wish. More Pikmin. But is this how you wanted it? It's interesting because like Pikmin to me is always one of Nintendo's kind of, if you were to tier their franchises, I would put Pikmin in the like C tier probably, where it's not D. It's definitely like not the bottom tier of stuff, but it's not even high enough to like, you know, even kind of be with the Star Foxes and whatnot. So for them to go this hard into this style of game that so far has been for things like Pokemon, I think is a little bit interesting. And I don't know if it's like the best call, but at the same time, I don't know what other Nintendo franchises would work with this type of game.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is an interesting one because as I watch the trailer and as I read through what this game is, this sounds many times more boring and less interesting than Pokemon Go. Like, Pokemon Go had the benefits of, oh, cool, I'm going through and I'm catching a bunch of different Pokemon. They're adding Pokemon as you go. You have that childhood, like that nostalgia, but then also, like, that childhood magic of, oh, shit, this is like I'm playing the game, but in real life. Even from the first trailer of watching Pokemon Go, that was super exciting. You know, I remember the trailer where they had all the different landmarks and they had like the legendary battles. And I remember that trailer ending with Mewtwo and everybody doing this cool raid where everybody tries to catch Mewtwo. And that was the coolest thing ever. I think that sold every single person who had a remote interest in Pokemon on that game. And that led into what I remember fondly as the Pokemon Summer. I believe this is 2016, where everybody was super into Pokemon Go. And that took over our lives for at least a few weeks. And for many people, a few months and years. This doesn't strike me as anything remotely close to that. And not that it has to be, because we're talking about two very different tiers of brands, as you put it, Tim. Like, Pokemon is definitely the A tier of... Pokemon is super popular. Pokemon has releases very regularly. Pokemon has anime. Pokemon has merch. Pokemon has their own basically Nintendo Directs that they throw themselves. Pokemon is on another level in terms of expectation and in terms of how you're getting people in. Whereas Pikmin very much is a more lower-key Nintendo franchise, not like the super low-key Nintendo franchise, right? I think you put it right in that C tier, which is, I think, very appropriate for Pikmin. But I think that does lend me to the question of why. Why Pikmin? Why are you going this route with Pikmin as opposed to just giving us the next Pikmin game, which many people have been waiting for? Is this just part of we need to have some kind of Pikmin game to flow into Nintendo's mobile strategy? Or is there something more there? Or like, is this something that you feel like you can really make magical in the way that Pokemon Go ended up being magical?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the mobile factor is very interesting too, where it is a different audience than consoles, than Nintendo gamers traditionally are on. And Nintendo has found major success in its different mobile kind of endeavors in the last couple of years. It's had a couple things that didn't work out too well, but things like Fire Emblem Heroes, right? People are still playing that. It's making so much money. Pokemon Go still making so much money. And like a lot of that is collaboration with Niantic and Pokemon Company, et cetera, et cetera. But they have a proven moneymaker with Pokemon Go and with those systems. So like, this is clearly them being like, hey, we have this system that works, like let's apply it to something else. And I don't think that they would expect the same level of success, but I do think that they have a good understanding of what they're going to get from a Pikmin game. So I'm interested in the experiment. And at the end of the day, like this is going to expose Pikmin to many more people that aren't familiar. And I think that that's a good sign for what's ahead for Pikmin 4 when it eventually comes. Like one of the longest running announced Nintendo games that we haven't heard about in years at this point.
Yeah.
But I think that this bodes well for a sequel. And I think that it will help the sequel out a lot because these mobile gamers that are out there that aren't traditional gamers, a lot of them in the last 2 years have a Switch now that they didn't have before. So I think that this is ultimately a good thing for both the Nintendo IP and for Niantic trying something different that isn't just Pokemon.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. I think there's plenty of people who play Pokemon Go or are super into Pokemon Go who, you know, this isn't necessarily going to pick them off of Pokemon Go, but this might be something that they are additionally interested in. If somebody is super into Pokemon Go and they're like, oh, I've been playing this game for 4 or 5 years at this point, and, you know, I'm still in it, but it's nice to see that Niantic is putting out something else with a Nintendo property. Let me go check that out. Let me see what that's about, and that could feed into interest for Pikmin. I think that's a very good point. For you, is this something that you want to check out? And also, are you a big Pikmin person?
I am not a big Pikmin person. I respect the games. They're very good. They're very high quality video games. But yeah, they're not necessarily my favorite thing. And I think it was just a time and place that it never, any time one of the Pikmin games released, I was always busy doing other things. So it never really grabbed me that way.
Gotcha. Part of me wants to check it out just to see, like, I don't know. I love Pokemon Go so much for the few weeks that I played Pokemon Go that it could be cool to have another reason to go outside and just like take walks and go on this app and do this thing. But also, I know realistically, I'm probably not going to check it out because I'm also not a Pikmin person, right? Like that doesn't automatically make me want to get into this. If they did like a Mario walking game, oh my God, sign me up. I'm in there. Let's keep talking about Nintendo with story number two. Nintendo Switch Online Data Mine points to upcoming N64 games. I'm pulling from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. Nintendo's N64 and Mega Drive Switch Online apps have been data mined, revealing some solid hints at upcoming games, as well as how many are currently planned. Each console app contains a numbered list of games ordered alphabetically with gaps for upcoming titles. But some of these gaps are so small, it is obvious which game will alphabetically fill the space. This all tallies with Eurogamer's own knowledge of these apps' development and that these games are already planned out and simply waiting to be drip-fed into the service over time. More intriguingly, these Nintendo Switch Online platforms are numbered, with N64 as number 3 and Mega Drive as number 5. NES and SNES were 1 and 2, respectively. Nintendo has spent a chunk of time prepping Game Boy games for Switch Virtual Console, something Eurogamer and others reported last month, which is likely where that current gap for number 4 lies. Upcoming N64 games coming to the service look like they'll include Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, Mario Party, Super Smash Bros., and Wave Race. At least 38 N64 games are currently planned, plus 52 Mega Drive titles. Tim, does any of this surprise you?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. These are great numbers, though, and I'm very excited about it. Like, 38 N64 games, are we going to miss out on any classics? Like, I think that at that point, it's going to be the licensed stuff that we're not going to get, and that's pretty much it. But 38 is a big number for a console that had a limited amount of video games on it to begin with. And so far, the list of the games they've been putting out are the ones that we want, right? Like, these are the big expected titles.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated to see where this goes. Kevin had just pulled it up, but this news originally came from Mondo Mega, who did the data mining, and they tweeted out, initial data mining from the N64 app is somewhat fruitful. Going by the game IDs, there are at least 38 N64 titles planned for NSO. The list is alphabetical, so you can fill in some of the gaps already. 37 is Majora, 32 is Smash, 33 is Wave Race, and 14 through 16 is Mario Party, etc. And you can kind of suss that out pretty easily, right? Because when you open up the graph, like right there at like, I can't see exactly what number that is, but right there you see Mario 64, or not Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, and then four spaces under it is Mario Tennis. And so naturally, Tim, because how limited the N64 library is, it is very easy to go, oh yeah, those are the three Mario Party games, and you can kind of scope stuff out from there, which I'm super excited for this. You know, yesterday's episode was all about how much of a mess N64 Online was, and one of the things we mentioned was that $50 price point and the value of it and how expectations lie with that. Because for me, I find it so upsetting that the N64 Online app is coming with so many issues from not being able to remap controls, from the actual online portion of playing games with people online being janky, and that's just something that's kind of predictable given the history of Nintendo Switch Online. From like versions of games being weird, from the controller pack thing, there are plenty of things to pick apart and go, why Nintendo? Like, why would you go this direction? The thing that does give me excitement for Nintendo Switch Online with the N64 stuff is I did have a blast playing N64 Online 2 days ago and last night, because I went back and I played way more Mario Kart because I tried to go through and get the gold cup and all the different cups. And I got them in 3 out of 4 now at 150cc. I'm missing that second cup, and it's that I don't know what it is about. I forget the name of the actual raceway. There's one track that is screwing me over and I can't get in the top four. Toad's Turnpike is what it is. Toad's Turnpike is fucking destroying me right now. But regardless, I'm having such a good time playing the SD4 games. And as they continue to add games, once we hit that number, right? Like you mentioned, Tim, these are good numbers. Once we hit those numbers respectively for N64 and for the Sega Genesis stuff, that is going to speak to more value, right? Like $50, of course, is $50, but that I'm gonna pay a lot of money to play that amount of games on N64.
I am baffled by these number conversations and how people are talking about it being $50 for just this stuff. It's like you're already spending a chunk of that for the Nintendo Switch Online that you already had, so it's not $50. It's like, no matter how you shake this, like, to me, I see value in it for what we're actually getting for it. It's not perfect. There's a lot of weird Nintendo decisions. Same shit that I've had issues with for the NES and SNES. Why can't we button map? Why can't we turn off the overlays on the sides of getting all the weird bubble like things with the users backgrounds and shit? Like, shit's annoying, like really annoying. And I think that the controller remapping stuff is even more important for N64, because that calls a lot of busted ass controller with a weird control layout, right? And when you apply that to modern controllers like the Pro Controller, it gets wonky real fast. And we're seeing that, like, even things like Star Fox 64, where it's like the L2 button and the R1 button are as if they're left and right on a normal thing. It's like, that's just, it's weird. And it's like, you should be able to remap that. But besides that, like, the games we're getting now, I'm having a great time. And I personally can't speak for anybody else, but I do the family plan, so it gets down to just paying dollars to be able to play this stuff, and that is absolutely worth it to me.
It's the tough thing of, like I mentioned, I made a whole thread on Twitter about this, right? Because I think, like, a lot of people ask me, like, why are you paying for this, right? And I think the thing for me is, when money means everything, money means something different to everybody, right? And for me personally, I look at what they're offering with N64 Online. I look at the other things on there too for the expansion pack, and I'm like, cool. For me, as somebody who really wants to play these games on my Switch, I'm down to put down the money for this. And I'm not doing the family plan. I am doing the
why not?
Singular person. I don't have a family that wants to play
you
N64.
You have friends. You have a Slack channel that at any moment you can just reach out to be like, yo, who's trying to get down on this? It's literally just asking. No, it's
too much,
not.
Too much
it
organization.
Is so easy. Oh my God, I can get you added on one anytime. It's so simple, Bless. And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I know not everybody has that, but guess what? A lot of people do. A lot of people have friend networks. And if you don't have a friend network, guess what? Squad up. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. It's just too much work. I don't want to hit up my friend. Work. Like, how's that going to work with, like, the cloud stuff? Do I have to, like, hit them up? Like, am I able to transfer the data from my Switch to my other Switch?
If you want to make it complicated, you totally can.
Okay.
But if you want to have a good time and spend less money to be able to play N64 games, you also can.
I'm part of a family plan with Tim, and yeah, you can do all the stuff easy. Like, I just got a new Switch, transferred all my things. Everything is simple. Okay. It's stupid not to.
Here's the thing.
I'll look
Charles,
into it.
Charles Jacobson in the chat saying,
"You liar."
He's saying, "Tim, calm a bit. It's not for everybody." I am cool. I just think it's silly how much everybody is, like, losing their minds over some of these things. And it's just like, if you just applied that same energy to trying to save yourself money, you'd be able to save yourself a lot of money and get all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff still has issues. There's a lot of things to criticize. That's Nintendo. That ain't gonna change. But at the end of the day, I'm happy with what I'm getting for what I'm paying.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a little bit of what you're speaking to right now is, like, how this is going to differ from person to person. One of the things I mentioned in my one of the things that I got out of the thread I put on Twitter yesterday was Gary Witter responding and telling me about how, hey, he has, what I think he said, 3 people in his family that are playing Animal Crossing, and he wants the DLC. And for him, the family plan that he's doing and the DLC packs for all of his family members makes it more than worth it for him to do the expansion pack. And like, I look at that. I look at the Sega stuff. I look at the N64 stuff and I go, okay, I see a little bit of where Nintendo's vision is here with how they are bundling this thing. I think that where this starts to break down is when I look at subscription services or platform stuff like this, where it is about a library of games or a library of even movies, right? We talk about Netflix or whatever, a library of benefits. I think the place you want to hit with that as a company is we want to give people an embarrassment of riches. We want to give people so much that they are getting their value no matter where they fall. Because I'm a person that is going to play most of the N64 games that drop on the service. And so for me, I look at that and I'm like, that is valuable to me. I'm willing to spend the $50 on the single member plan so I can play most of these N64 games, because I am somebody who's going to get all of that. Though, like, when you look at other services, like let's say a Netflix, right? Netflix doesn't put out movies thinking that most of their audience is going to watch most of the movies on their service. They know that people are going to pick and choose what they want to do. I feel like for Nintendo, they put together the Nintendo Switch Online pass, and they put together the expansion pack thinking that their audience is going to take use of most of the features on there, right? Or play most of the games or use the Animal Crossing thing. I'm somebody who doesn't play Animal Crossing. So that's a third of the expansion pack that doesn't matter to me.
But bless, it does sound like Gary Whitta has a family plan with only 3 slots taken.
I don't know, man. I don't want to hit up Gary Whitta when it comes to
You know, here's the thing. If you're not making moves, you're standing still.
That man's busy. He has a new child.
He won't let you bother him. He will just be like, no thanks, and just never speak to you again. Easy.
I couldn't imagine going to Gary Whitta and being like, hey,
you want me to Gary ask Whitta, for him? I'll text
writer,
him. I'll ask
writer
him
on first Forspoken, writer of multiple Star Wars projects. You got space in your family plan for me to hop on so I can play N64?
I mean,
games?
I'm just saying,
know,
it's an easy invite to Thanksgiving. You're right there, you know what I mean?
I guess.
It's starting it all.
I guess. I hope we get Wave Race. I'm very excited for it. I guess the stuff that they have here that is, hey, these seem like they're lock-ins, I'm all in for. Somebody asked me a few days ago what games I want to come to the service, and one of the first things I said was Super Smash Brothers for the N64, and it seems like that is a lock given this data mine, and so give it to me. I cannot wait to play Smash 64. I cannot wait to play Wave Race. Give me Diddy Kong Racing. Give me all the good stuff.
Well, if I remember correctly, those titles were already revealed, right? In the... when they did the thing, they're like, and more coming soon. And we saw Banjo, and we saw, I'm pretty sure we saw Smash.
I don't think Smash was on there. Kind of funny how comments you're wrong.
Yeah, I think
Banjo
it was,
for sure was on there.
Because I remember getting excited, being like, oh my God, we're going to be able to play Smash 64 online.
Kind of funny how comments you're wrong. I know Paper Mario was on there. But
Smash
either way.
Was not there.
Yeah. Either way, like, I'm excited. I think we're looking at a pretty good future in terms of the games that are actually going to come there.
Yeah. The sad thing is we're not going to get, like, the WWF games, which, like, things like that. Those type of licensed things and, like, GoldenEye. It's like, ah, damn it. You know, like, that would be so
freaking
cool.
Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Exactly. Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball.
The good stuff. Tim, let's talk about one more news story before we probably switch to ads. Story number 3, Blizzard cancels online BlizzCon 2022. This is Mike Fahey at Kotaku. It's been a rocky couple of years for Blizzard's annual fan celebration, with the 2020 and 2021 shows canceled due to the ongoing COVID-19 epidemic. Now, as fallout continues from the California lawsuit over the studio's culture of abuse, discrimination, and harassment toward women, Blizzard has canceled the BlizzCon online event previously scheduled for February 2022. In a letter to the community posted today on Blizzard's website, the developer said that putting on a massive event like BlizzCon takes the time and energy of everyone at the company. Time and energy that Blizzard feels at this time would be better put toward, quote, supporting our teams and progressing development of our games and experiences, end quote. The letter goes on to say that the company will be taking this year's downtime as an opportunity to reimagine what BlizzCon will look like in the future. Quote, the first BlizzCon was held 16 years ago, and so much has changed in the time since. Most notably, the multiple ways in which players and communities can come together and feel like they are part of something bigger. Whatever the event looks like in the future, we also need to ensure that it feels as safe, welcoming, and inclusive as possible, end quote. Blizzard concludes its letter. To the community by assuring fans that the company will still be announcing games and updates, just not in a convention setting. All things considered, that's probably for the best. Tim, I don't think this is much of a surprise.
No, it's not. It's just a state of where we're at with all this stuff, right? So it's like, I don't know. like it, Blizzard and Activision as a whole, like I am really interested to see where they're going to be, what this means for all the development of the games and stuff. BlizzCon traditionally has had major announcements, and in a year leading into, you'd expect, having a lot of Overwatch 2 conversation stuff, they're just not going to have that. So there's always other places that they can make announcements and stuff. So from that level, I think it's really interesting to look at. And then the other side is, yeah, here are the effects. Things people are being heard loud and clear, and it's working to an extent. Like, this is affecting their business in different ways. So hopefully that's a good sign of more things to change, more things to come, more change to come as well. Like McCree being renamed and all that stuff. It's like, it's every one of these things is not going to fix stuff, but over time, all of these things together loudly will change things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a part of the state of where we're at, and it's part of steps being taken. And you hope that those steps become meaningful steps, right? You hope that them canceling BlizzCon isn't like the skeptical way to look at this, or the pessimistic way to look at this is, of course, the canceling BlizzCon. Like, who wants to attend BlizzCon? That is only going to be more attention on them and attention that they don't want, which I think is a valid way to look at it. But also, you do hope that this is them like reading the tea leaves, looking around, and understanding that they are in a shitty place and they do need to take a step back and look at the organization and take the time to talk to people and figure out, like, how are we going to fix this and how do we remedy this and how do we make things better? And like you said, Tim, like, we've seen a lot of things that seem to be steps in the right direction. McCree being renamed to Cole Cassidy, again, is a step in the right direction. And yeah, like, I this is part of the ongoing conversations that we're going to continue to have and the ongoing saga of all this. And yeah, like I hope to see meaningful change continue to happen, because, again, like we've talked about in the last, I guess, half year at this point, it's been such a storm of shitty stuff coming out about Blizzard and Activision, all that stuff. So let's hope together.
Yep, 100%.
Tim, before we transition to the next news story, I want to tell people about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can go to get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Flu season is in full swing, and let me tell you, being properly hydrated makes a huge difference. That's why I use Liquid IV to stay hydrated and support a strong immune system with delicious flavors like watermelon, strawberry, and lemon lime. I've been using Liquid IV for years. I absolutely love it. It helps me stay hydrated when you're feeling a little hungover, or even if you're just kind of feeling a little groggy. This is the best way to get hydrated fast. Liquid IV uses cellular transport technology, which is a very fancy way of saying it contains the perfect balance of vitamins to help you hydrate quicker. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com with the promo code KFGD. Next up, shout out to DoorDash. We're getting close to the holiday season and things are bound to get a little hectic soon. Why not give yourself one less thing to worry about? Get dinner covered with DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essentials delivered with DoorDash. You can get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. I love DoorDash. I've been using it for so long, and it's just great to not have to worry about stuff, be able to order food and have it delivered just straight to me. A fun fact, one of my best friends just had his baby shower last week, and I decided a great gift would be get him a DoorDash gift card. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021, G-A-M-E-S 2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. The killer crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, basketball is back. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's really exciting. Score big and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of $1,000 in total prizes, it's the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. All you got to do is enter promo code KFGD to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code KFGD only at DraftKings. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Remember, promo code KFGD.
Story number four, Tim. Composer Shoji Meguro leaves Atlas. This is Sal Romano at Gamatsu. And this is one that breaks my heart a little bit, but the story itself isn't doom and gloom. Shoji Meguro has left the Atlas sound team to work as a freelance composer, the company has announced. Atlas will continue to develop new titles with Meguro working as a freelance composer, as well as support his endeavor to expand his efforts in the future. Shoji Meguro joined Atlas in 1995 and has composed countless soundtracks for Atlas titles since, including the Shin Megami Tensei and Persona series. Kodansha Games Creator Lab, an independent game developer support organization, also announced it'll support Meguro on the development of a new indie game to be announced on November 6th at Indie Live Expo 2021 Winter. According to Meguro's Twitter profile, it is a near-future science fiction stealth action slash role-playing game with gun-based combat. Gotta love those buzzwords. Meguro, under the pseudonym Mega Rock, had been making games... Yeah. Right? Mega Rock is such a cool name. Had been making games using the Unreal Engine 4 on his own for the past 5 years and applied for the Games Creator Lab Round 1 recruitment last September, and made it to the final interview. And although not selected as a Games Creator Lab Round 1 member, Kodansha supported Meguro with 500,000 yen in funding as a special prize. After subsequent communication, the organization decided to assign him a separate position from the Games Creator Lab Round 1 members. Meguro wrote in a letter, quote, "Hello, I'm Shoji Meguro. I know this is quite sudden, but I, Shoji Meguro, resigned from Atlas at the end of September 2021. I've been creating role-playing games by myself during my spare time for the past 5 years now, and I applied for a Round 1 Kodansha Games Creators Lab recruitment and was selected as one of the finalists. Then staff from Kodansha were assigned to work with me. I decided to leave Atlas and focus on my dream of developing indie games. However, I will continue to maintain a good relationship with Atlas. While focusing on my own indie game development, I will continue to work with Atlas on game music, so I hope that those of you who are concerned about the sudden announcement will feel relieved. Lastly, I would like to thank Atlas and my family for accompanying me. I would also like to thank Kodansha for giving me a chance to take on the challenge. I hope you will enjoy the music of Shoji Meguro, as well as the games I am currently working on," end quote. And Tim, this is one that hits me hard, because I'm such a fan of Persona, and the music is one of the most important aspects to Persona. And so Shoji Meguro has been working on Persona for what feels like forever. It might actually be forever. And so, like, losing him as, like, a core, like, full-time composer on that breaks my heart a little bit. It's nice to hear that he's still going to be working to a freelance extent, but that makes me think that he's not going to be as involved as he has been, which to me is sad news, although good for him for chasing his dreams.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's an end of an era in a lot of ways, but, you know, I, of course, being a big Nobuo Uematsu fan from the Final Fantasy days, like the early Final Fantasy days, it came to a point where he stopped being the lead composer for the games and instead kind of would show up and have key moments here and there every once in a while for different titles. And I think that might be kind of what we see here. If I had to bet, I think that Persona 6 is still going to heavily feature his music. And I think it will still be based around that vibe and style. And I think that you're not going to lose as much as you expect to lose. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it'll be as pervasive in every inch of the whole entire body of the game. But I think it'll still be the soul of the game.
I really hope so, because Persona, especially when you look at Persona, I mean, I guess every Persona, right? But especially for the last three mainline, Persona 3, 4, and 5, music is such a core aspect to those games, right? Like, when you play Persona 5, you have the art style, you have the the smoothness of the transitions. You have the stylized UI, you have the setting, you have all these different elements artistically that feed together, and music is so core to that, right? Like Shoji Meguro as a composer isn't just like coming through and writing some songs, and like it's not the designer coming to him and be like, hey, we need a rock song, and him making a rock song, right? It's not like them coming to him and be like and being like, hey, we need a theme for this character who's kind of a sad loner, and him going, okay, cool, let's do this. It is him from the ground up with the rest of the team working on this and constructing something that feeds into what the tone of the overall game is going to be. When Persona 5 is pitched as something that is, hey, the style of this game is going to be very like acid jazz, and it's going to have like a lot of like free jazz instrumentals. It's going to feature like cool pop vocals. It's going to have X, Y, and Z thing that feeds into the rest of the game that, you know, like, That ends up with, you know, the so much of the game taking place in a coffee shop. That ends with so much of Persona 5, or one of the mechanics of Persona 5 Royal being in a jazz club, right, when you go to the new city area, right? Like, so much of those games are constructed around the stylistic elements, and a big part of that is the music. And so, yeah, like, this doesn't spell doom and gloom, of course. Like, he's still working on it, and I'm with you, Tim, that I think he's still going to be pretty core to it, but this does feel like the first step out, right? This feels like the, hey, this is me being on my way from lead composer to consultant to eventually moving on and doing his own thing, which is fair to him, but
that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is these Persona games, they're not coming out annually, so it's like this might just be giving him the room to spread his wings and go out and do these indie games that he wants and be able to create more while still totally being just as involved potentially in Persona 6, which is not coming next year. You know what I mean? Like, I think that this might just be giving him kind of a little bit more room to breathe and stretch his strengths and like learn some different stuff. And working on these indie games could be cool. Just like getting different soundtracks out there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I love the description of the indie game that he's working on, because as I read it, right, it is a near future science fiction stealth action role-playing game with gun-based combat. That sounds like a me-ass game. I'm down to jump into that. I'm hyped to see what that is. And so,
oh yeah,
go get him, Shoji Meguro. Tim, we have a bunch of PlayStation news that I put together in what I'm calling the PlayStation Mega Block of News. The Mega Block of PlayStation news. Let's just jump in to story number 5, which is Sackboy: A Big Adventure may be coming to Steam. This is Chris Skolian at Video Games Chronicle. A new listing on Steam's database appears to suggest that Sackboy: A Big Adventure is coming to PC. This is a big like database episode, a lot of data mining going on. SteamDB logged the presence of a new product in the database, which goes by the codename SteelPC. However, the product's current information reference to something called Marmalade Content, which it's believed is a reference to Sumo Digital's platformer. It was pointed out on Reddit that September's huge leak of unannounced games on NVIDIA's GeForce Now streaming service included a reference to Project Marmalade, which the list also confirmed was Sackboy: A Big Adventure. The game, which was critically well-received, has been a PlayStation exclusive to this point, releasing as both a PS5 launch title and a PS4 game. NVIDIA has played down September's data mine, which appeared to reveal a number of unannounced games in a blog post and accompanying video posted at the time. Developer Igor July documented how he was able to access the database for NVIDIA's streaming service, and included a list of titles compiled by SteamDB founder Pavel Jundik, featuring unannounced games like Final Fantasy IX Remake, BioShock RTX Remaster, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Halo 5 PC, Crysis 4, Half-Life 2 Remastered, Injustice 3, and more. Some of the games on the list have since been confirmed, including Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Remasters and a PC version of God of War. However, NVIDIA has since stated that while the list is real, it was used for only internal testing, and that the games listed don't necessarily exist.
What a fun thing to talk about, right? Like, this is like kind of like video game rumor theory leak gold, where it's like, here's this list of games. The list is real, and we know that some of them are coming true, but not all of them are necessarily going to come to fruition. I kind of love it. I love that, like, these projects in some form at some point existed And I like that.
Yeah. And at the very least, NVIDIA for GeForce Now had them in their system for some reason, right? And like,
yeah.
This is kind of a new story that is disguised as a different new story. Because the main new story here, right? The headline is Sackboy Big Adventure may be coming to Steam, which is cool. Love Sackboy Big Adventure. Everybody should go play that game. I love that they're continuing to support it. But the big new story here is, hey, another one is announced. Right, that NVIDIA GeForce leak, he's coming true by the second in terms of the GTA trilogy, in terms of God of War PC, and now in terms of Little Big Planet coming to PC.
Yeah, the BioShock RTX remaster, like that sounds so great. Like just imagining all the water with ray tracing, go, come on, like that. I really hope that that's real. But yeah, the Sackboy Big Adventure side of this, like I think it's great. Like I love how much PlayStation titles we're seeing being ported to PC. I want to see that continue. I want to see a lot of effort and
Sirens on our end, by the way.
Yeah, Sirens are on our end.
I don't get to say that as often.
Exactly. But I love the idea of them putting a lot of love and care into these PC ports and kind of like strengthening the PlayStation brand and to a whole entirely different audience, and also allowing a lot of the core gamers to have an even better experience on PC if they choose and if they have the setup for so many of these, you know, amazing titles. And even things like Sackboy that isn't Horizon and it isn't God of War, but it's a damn good video game, and I think that getting it in the hands of more people is really, really special and cool.
So when you look at this list that we have here from this is VGC, Video Games Chronicle, they mentioned the unannounced games like Final Fantasy IX Remake, BioShock RTX Remaster, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Halo 5 PC, Crysis 4, Half-Life 2 Remastered, Injustice 3. And the list goes on. But with those listed, Tim, do you believe that all of those are real at this point?
Okay, let's go one by one. Final Fantasy IX Remake. I think that that exists. What is that? I don't think it's a Final Fantasy VII remake type remake of nine. I do just think it's going to be more than the Final Fantasy VIII remaster, but way less than what we got for VII remake. But I do think we're going to get something nine related. We have the Netflix show coming out. Like there's a Final Fantasy IX.
Is it Final Fantasy IX Netflix show?
Yeah.
How did I miss this? What the fuck?
A cartoon.
That seems random, but I mean, cool. That's cool. But also in terms of Square and remakes, right? Like we've gotten so many different iterations of what Square views as remake. And so like we have the Final Fantasy VII game that is coming out for mobile, and that constitutes as a remake, right? Like there are so many levels to what a remake could be that I'm with you that this isn't a Final Fantasy VII style remake, but maybe it could be a cool like chibi version of Final Fantasy IX or something that is something that's a more interesting stylized take on what Final Fantasy IX is.
Might be wrong about the Netflix part, but they are doing an animated Final Fantasy IX show. But for some reason, my gut tells me it's going to end up on Netflix.
Interesting.
But yeah, BioShock RTX Remaster, wouldn't be surprised. That adds up. That makes a lot of sense. Resident Evil 4 Remake, inevitable.
Yeah.
Halo 5 PC, that is a weird one for me, where it's been like requested for so long, but at a certain point, it's like, do we need it? We have Infinite right around the corner. But
that seems like one that was in development and we got closer and closer to Halo Infinite. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, actually, never mind. Like, let's hold this for maybe another time or not do it because we have Halo Infinite coming out right now.
Yeah. And then Injustice 3 is another one that like we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised either way if we see it or not.
It broke my heart that it wasn't at DC fandom.
I know. Something at least. I just want another NetherRealm game.
Oh yeah, it's about time. Like we're getting to that time now where it's like, hey man, spring. Like where is that game, right? Like we want that goodness. We love you, NetherRealm. Where are you? Half-Life 2 Remastered, I think, is a very interesting one, which I don't have an opinion on in terms of like if it's real or not. I just think that'd be interesting to see released because I feel like that gives new hope to, oh man, they're at least thinking about Half-Life over there. Like what does that look like? You know, are we gonna get? Is this gonna lead into Half-Life 3, especially coming off of Alyx?
I think that with where technology is at now, like especially with things like ray tracing, I imagine that a lot of games from that era, like we're looking at the Resident Evil 4, Half-Life 2, BioShock, like I think we're going to see a lot of games getting what we got so much of the last couple gens of remaster. I do think we're about to get a new level of, like remaster is about to be redefined for what it means for modern gaming, right?
For sure. Tim, let's keep on with this PlayStation mega block of news. Story number 6, November's PlayStation Plus games have been revealed early. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. November's PlayStation Plus games have been revealed ahead of Sony's official announcement. According to user Bill Kuhn on D-Labs, who correctly leaked the PS Plus lineups for September and October. November's free titles will be Knockout City for PS5 and PS4, The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners for PSVR, First Class Trouble for PS5 and PS4, and Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning for PS4. Sony confirmed earlier this month that November's PS Plus offering would include three PlayStation VR games to celebrate the platform's fifth anniversary. While one of these is The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Bill Bilkun says they're leaving the other two as surprises and believes that they may be revealed during the State of Play presentation taking place today. And so there's some slight State of Play spoilers for you, but it seems like a decent month. It seems pretty good. Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning, really good one. Knockout City, honestly, is a fantastic one to have on PS Plus. And Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. You know what? This is a good month. I take it back. This is a really good month.
Yeah, it is. Good list of games.
Good list of games. And then let's continue on with the last of our PlayStation mega block of news. Story number 7, Apple Music launches on PS5 today. This is pulled directly from the PlayStation blog. For those of you who love listening to music in addition to playing games, we're pleased to announce that Apple Music is launching on PS5, the first gaming console to introduce an integrated Apple Music experience, bringing their expansive music catalog to PS5 players globally. Starting today, PS5 users with an Apple Music subscription can enjoy more than 90 million songs from Apple Music, tens of thousands of curated playlists, music videos in 4K, Apple Music radio streaming today's hits, classics, and country live, and personalized playlists based on your music preferences. PS5 offers seamless integration with the Apple Music streaming service with background music and music video playback, so players can listen before, during, or after their gameplay session. Tim, does this do anything for you?
Kind of. It's really interesting. Apple Music, I recently have been using a lot because they switched over to lossless and they added Dolby Atmos support for a vast majority of new songs coming out and stuff. And while it definitely doesn't always improve the sound, and a lot of times kind of comes off as awkward if the mix isn't done properly, when done right, it is a transformative audio experience. And it is so dope and so cool. And the quality is unlike anything I've ever heard before. But I don't know if the PlayStation 5 app is going to support everything I just talked about, because a lot of the apps that are a lot of places Apple Music is do not even have that. Like the fact that there's not a Windows app for Apple Music, I just do not understand how
is the there fuck not
no and that there's so much dumbass complications here.
iTunes where, existed. How is there not an Apple Music
well,
app?
There's iTunes. You can do okay. iTunes, but you're not getting lost if you're listening on iTunes.
Wow.
Because iTunes doesn't support that. It's such fucking nonsense. But I have like Apple Music on my iPhone, and I can't cast that to my Chromecast stuff because they want me to AirPlay. And it's like, this is some annoying app. Like this, the ecosystems are so close to just playing nice together. But that little bridge is just like, come on, guys. Let me just jump over.
It sounds like you should come fully to the Android life and just embrace Spotify, because as somebody who uses Spotify, this is something. If you told me that Apple Music was already on PlayStation, I would be like, sure, yeah, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? Why is it just coming to PlayStation now?
I do use Spotify, and I use Spotify mainly for casting at this point. But Spotify doesn't have lossless. Spotify doesn't have Atmos. Spotify doesn't have a lot of these features that are becoming standard in the industry these days. Apple did it at no extra charge, and like that's kind of the big shift there. So we'll see how this all kind of shakes out, but. I like that at least there is an app that, if at the very least to me, gives me hope that there will be a Windows app at some point.
God. Tim, let's round out the Roper Report with story number 8. We got one more for the road. Superliminal, that's right, the puzzle game, the first-person puzzle game that I really like, that it plays with like shifted perspective. That game is adding a multiplayer battle royale. This is from Rachel Fittis at DualShockers. And Kevin, I have a trailer that you can pull up as I read through.
Fuck. All right.
Yeah. If you enjoy your
a lot. Yeah.
If we can play this together, Kevin. This might be a fun stream. If you enjoy your mind-bending puzzles with an added multiplayer mode, Superliminal's new update is catered just for you. Indie developer Pillow Castle has quite a lot to celebrate right now. As they approach their first anniversary of Superliminal launching on Steam, the highly acclaimed forced perspective puzzle game is also getting a pretty big update. Superliminal arrived on the Steam platform almost 2 whole years ago, and for those who aren't too sure what the heck this game is about, it's essentially a single-player puzzle title based on forced perspective and optical illusions. Puzzles in Superliminal give players the sense of the unexpected, and in turn, they must change the perspective and think outside inside the box to wake up from the dream. To mark the one-year release anniversary of developer Pillow Castle's Force Perspective puzzle game, the gaming studio will be adding an all-new multiplayer mode for free on November 5th that will allow players to feel the joy and frustration of puzzle solving with friends in a series of frantic obstacle courses. The experimental Battle Royale mode will be available through the holiday season. Now, this is one that, first of all, this article, and even in the press release, they mentioned it being like the one-year anniversary, which confuses me because this game came out like 2 years ago, which the article also mentions. So I don't know what's up with that. Ignore it. That's an article issue, not me. Secondly, Tim and Kevin, what the fuck? Like, Kevin especially, as somebody who's played this game, what the fuck?
I mean, watching this trailer, too, this doesn't seem like something that looks fleshed
it's
out.
It's really weird. You know? Yeah, right? Like the other players are chess pieces, it looks like, and... Yeah, like you're solving these perspective puzzles at the same time where people are people. This looks so janky, dude. In Superliminal, right? Like the whole thing is you can go up to an object, hold it like up to your face, and then like hold it up and then put it down. It'll be a different size based off of perspective. Yeah. You're seeing other people do that too in real time, and it looks really janky in a way that I kind of want to check out with Kevin because this could be a fun time or it could be a terrible time. I don't
imagine this being fun, but like I am definitely down to try it, and like maybe at the end of the day, that's really all they're going for. And
maybe. Good for them though. Congratulations on the anniversary, whether it's your first anniversary or second anniversary, I cannot tell based on multiple write-ups.
The important things we're talking about them, you know.
Exactly, Tim.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for me and Kev to stream Superliminal multiplayer on one of these kind of funny Twitch streams, but that's probably just so far away. If I wanted what's coming out to Mom and Drop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Out today we got Dadish or Dadish. I'm gonna say Dadish. I'm gonna assume it's like the TV show Blackish, but with dads. Dadish is coming out for Xbox One. And then Dadish 2 is also coming out for Xbox One, the sequel to Dadish. Pumpkin Jack is out today for PS5, Xbox Series X. The Legend of Tainding is coming out today for Switch and PC. Death Park 2 is coming out for Xbox One. Princess Loop Pixel again is coming out for Switch. Lucid Cycles for Switch. And then Tuhu Multi-Scroll Shooting is out now for Steam.
Going back real quick there, Pumpkin Jack coming out today. It's the next gen version on PS5, Xbox Series X and S. You're going to be doing a stream of that tomorrow. So Andy's going to play Guardians from like 11 to 2. And then from 2 to 4, you and Barrett are going to be playing Pumpkin Jack. I watched the trailer. Have you seen the trailer for this yet,
Blas? I have seen the trailer. I'm very excited for this.
It is so up your alley. I showed Cool Greg and he like lost his mind. It is like the most made for Cool Greg game I've ever seen, where its whole idea is a PS2 style platformer, but nowadays, and it's like Halloween themed. Like you're this like pumpkin headed dude. And it's like, this is awesome. And the trailer looks so like they're nailing the Jack and Daxter vibes we all love so much.
Yeah. Super excited for that. That is one stream that you don't want to miss because we might be bringing shenanigans to that one. And so that's happening right after Andy and Mike's Guardians of the Galaxy stream tomorrow, right? It's Thursday.
It is tomorrow. Yeah.
God, how is today Wednesday?
Tomorrow is Thursday. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Wednesday for some reason to me. New days for you. Kung Fu Kickball kicks off December 2nd on consoles, PC, and Mac.
Cool.
And then Deal of the Day, this is from Wario64. Deathloop is $40 right now, $39.99. You can get that on Amazon, Best Buy with the Steelbook. That's on GameStop. It's on the USPSN. And then on Steam, you can get it for $31.71 at Gamers Gate with the code Wario64. So get hyped for that.
Gamers Gate. That is unfortunate.
Yeah, right? What's going on? I'm not talking to you, phone. What are you doing? Bixby, calm down. That's the one. That's the one.
Switch to Android.
Listen, no, that is the one downside to my Samsung Galaxy. Is that Bixby?
That works with every phone.
God, no, but
no, Bixby. I'm not talking to you. No.
Les, what? Like, you gotta turn off. Have you ever used Bixby? Like, turn it off.
I've never used it once, and I don't even know how to turn it off.
Because do you have a Bixby button on your phone? It's Samsung's attempt at like an AI. Do you have a Bixby button on your phone?
I do have the Bixby button. Yeah,
you can remap that to do other doing? Things. You can have it do other things that like aren't
it
useless.
Honestly, this didn't become a problem until whatever the latest firmware update was for my phone.
Bless you, weren't using it.
I wasn't using it whatsoever, and I forgot it was there for like the 2 years that I've had this phone. And the latest update for some reason turned it on. Bixby, stop. Bixby, don't.
Bad Bixby.
Bad. It's been happening all the time. Now I'm gonna turn it off, Kevin. Now it's time to squad up. Joe writes in with a squad up on PS5 and says, I'm looking for some best friends to squad up with in Avengers, Fallout 76, Deathloop, and overall just branch out into the larger best friend community. If you want to play with Joe, you can add Joe on PSN with the username Vlad_Filanov. That is Vlad, Vlad_Filanov, FilAnov. Go play some video games. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's where you write in list of what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. I can't tell Kebabs is fucking with me. I'm gonna read it because it's funny, but I feel like Kebabs is fucking with me. Kebabs writes in and says, the dots on the side of Nintendo Switch's virtual console games are called Ben Day dots after Benjamin Henry Day Jr., a 19th century illustrator and printer who created the technique in 1879. That makes more sense. I thought this was Nintendo giving an homage. This is just the artistic like style.
Got it.
That makes sense. Kebabs Kebabs also writes in and says the following games are coming to the N64 service: Banjo-Kazooie, F-Zero X, Kirby 64, Mario Golf, Paper Mario, Pokemon Snap, and then Majora's Mask. Those are the ones that Nintendo officially announced. Gotcha. In that direct.
So I must have been talking about what the fuck was I talking about?
You might have seen the data mine this morning and just assumed or something.
Yeah. Wait, so Mario Party's not even on this list. We just see somewhere else that Mario Party was?
In the news story. The three Mario Parties, yeah, are coming. But
somebody in the chat earlier said, no, the ones that were officially announced, and one of them was Mario Party, but whatever.
Matter. Mario Party was definitely not. But I mean, hey, we're going to get it out of the way. It was in that data mine, and so
which is so interesting to think about with Mario Party Superstars coming out in just a couple days.
That's why I assume we didn't get Smash or Mario Party officially announced. I think those are probably going to be a couple years down.
Yeah, it's just interesting because those games, but more than that, like those games specific, like Superstars is just a greatest hits of Mario Party 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
so it's like you're gonna have Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 with online play. All right, it's cool.
Yeah, but like it's the online play is basically Parsec but worse on the Nintendo Switch online thing, where it's not like online play, it's like online jank. Like it's you being framey and like having the lag and having to go through all the bullshit Nintendo Switch online. But I am looking forward though to like having all the full like games, because that comes with like maps and features and all the stuff that they're not gonna have in Superstars, and that's probably gonna drop still in like 2023. And that's it for You're Wrong, I think. Yeah, that's it for You're Wrong. Somebody's writing in about the Bixby button, which now I say that, Bixby is gonna activate. Bixby, stop. Yeah, that's it for kindoffunny.com. You're wrong. It's funny because it's one of those things where I don't say the A word on this podcast. A-L-E-X-A.
Okay. We know.
Because I know how many people have those and how the chaos that'll ensue as soon as I say that name. Bixby, I don't mind, because I know that there's probably five people listening to this show that is annoyed by how often I'm saying Bixby on this episode, because everybody's like, what the fuck is a Bixby?
Also, like, it's not doing much. I mean, it's going to turn on, you're going to remember it exists, you're going to turn it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't kick in and start Googling things for you. It's no good.
Hey, Bixby. Hey, Alexa. Hey, Google. Hey, Siri.
Oh, no. Tim, no. Oh, no. He did it.
It's just activated like three different devices around me. Hey, God. That's the chaos you need on this Wednesday, everybody. This has been Games Daily. I love you all.
Hell yeah. Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are Timothy and Tim. I don't know why I called you Timothy. It's a Tim Thursday.
Stop, if you're watching, Siri.
If you're watching
Shut
this,
up, Google.
If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike and Andy playing some more of that Guardians of the Galaxy. If you want to catch that stream later, go ahead and subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.